everyone, and welcome into Onigiri & Co. podcast. And today we have a really special guest for you guys, Mr. Steel.
Woo!
Who's just drinking coffee while I say
Wait, I can make a beep noise. Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, it's going well. Thanks for coming again, 2 times in 6 months.
Woohoo!
It took a while to...
Yeah, right? You
should it took like 3 months for us to get this going, but... We've been trying to do this exact thing for at least a month, I think, maybe more.
Maybe more, because that was still when I was in Germany.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not like we have standard schedule, but we finally made it. And today we're going to talk about your recent, less recent now, Nepal videos. Because at the time you had just finished publishing them, but now it's been a bit of a while. But maybe it's going to be good for you to... debrief on them with us. I mean, I hope so, because we have some questions, and it's a good following episode to what we just published with Tommy and his trip to Alaska. So I thought, we're inviting people to talk about trips, and it's going to be
very
fun.
Cool.
So that's what's
right.
going.
Well, do you have any questions specifically? Because I have, it's probably bad news for me, but really great news for everyone else in the world. But I'll talk about that here in a minute after we talk about my previous Nepal trip.
Oh, I got it already. Oh. That's exciting. I'm excited. I don't know if I think that's
bad. Nice. That's an announcement. Well, what we did last time with Tommy was letting him talk about each specific video he had made. But because you made 7, I feel like that's quite a lot to describe in details, but maybe it would be a good thing if you remember sort of what you put in each video to just briefly explain to people what was in each video, and then it will make sense for me to ask some questions about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me look at my YouTube and see which videos I posted. I mean, I know pretty much what they are, but I just want to see the order.
Yeah. And while you're doing that, I just wanted to say it was great, a great series to watch as well. Like, it made us travel to, I think, places like most of us have never been, like, from your audience, you know? It's not like you just went to, I don't know, Japan or something very popular.
To be perfectly honest, though, I've been in Nepal, and my first question is, how did you freaking survive? It was hard to breathe.
I mean, it was pretty hard to breathe.
Exactly.
How high did you go? Because like Kathmandu is only at like 2,000 feet above sea level or something like that.
That's true.
So that's not that high.
It wasn't that high, but I don't know. Going up was just bad for me, but I have asthma. So I suck at breathing anyway. So when I went there, it was like, oh, that's tough. So I was thinking like, how can you just go there and laugh and do all those things and have a backpack on your back and just walk with it like a normal person?
I mean, I tried to leave it as like basic and uncut as I could so that you could see the struggles that I was going through. I feel like you could kind of. I didn't leave anything out on purpose. I just put in, I mean, that's why I made them as long as I did. So I don't really know. I wasn't dying too much, but we can talk about like each vlog and the circumstances of why I was there and how all of that went down as far as the people that were involved, and then also why I was there and what I thought I was going for and what eventually actually happened.
Yeah.
But it led to some cool things. So, and I don't know, I got kind of catfished a little bit, but it ultimately turned out okay.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, let's go for it. Just tell us when you're ready.
Okay, so I'm looking at my first one, which was 4 months ago, and that's Nepal Vlog 1, and it's like starting the hike to Everest. So how I got this trip opportunity was, I guess in like 2019, this guy, Shri, he hit me up on Instagram, I think, or maybe he sent me an email and he was like, hey, we're doing this thing called the World Vlog Challenge. It's going to be next year in April, at 2020 in April. Obviously that didn't work out. If anyone was awake for the last 2 years of your life, you probably realize that some shenanigans went on. So he was like prepping me for this, and the idea behind it, what he was telling me is like, hey, you're going to be like the first person to fly a mini quad at Everest Base Camp. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool.
Wow.
And I don't know anything about at Everest, or I didn't at all, especially then. I was like, oh, cool, it's a tall mountain, whatever. I don't care that much, but it sounds like a good opportunity for me to be able to go to experience something that I probably would never go out of my way to experience, especially considering how much money it costs to be able to go to Everest, at least even the base camp, to hike from Lukla, which is the airport you fly into. That's like the start of the base camp hike, which is 38 miles. That's like, I want to say you probably couldn't do the trip for less than $20,000 US. You might okay. be able to, but you have to like get permits, and it just takes a long time. It's a lot of hassle. So I was like, yeah, I'm probably not going to do that. So if this guy's paying for everything and there's a potential to win money for this challenge thing, then that's like a no-brainer. Why wouldn't I do it? Mm-hmm. So 2020 happened, and I thought it wasn't going. They were trying to still do it, and I was like, whoa. In the early days of COVID, people were like scared of everything, and then this guy's like, yeah, we're going to go to 18,000 feet with this like respiratory infection going around worldwide. It's going to be fine. You'll be okay. And I'm like, I don't know how serious this is, so how about let's not do that? Everyone that was originally supposed to go, there were a bunch of people that were supposed to go. Like a bunch of YouTubers were invited to this world vlog challenge thing where you basically just like, my idea of it where was you show up, they pay for everything for you to go, and you just hike this 38 mile thing and you film it, and then you make a video, and whoever's video is the best wins money. That was the idea.
That's fun.
Or at least that's what I thought. But it wasn't that way when I got there. So after all the people that originally were supposed to go, like a bunch of super big YouTube names backed out because they were scared of COVID. Mm-hmm. And some still big YouTube names came, but it was like 11 people instead of, I think there were like 25 to begin with or something like that.
Okay.
And we get there. Soon and Paul, I fly into Kathmandu after like a 38-hour flight. Not like nonstop, but you know, it's like 14 or 15 hours to Istanbul, and then I had a 10-hour layover or some shit, and I luckily had access to the lounge, so I just like took a nap in some trash chair. I don't know. I just laid in some chair all weird and took a nap, and then another whatever it was, 8 or 10 hours to Kathmandu from Istanbul. I don't think it was that long, but it ended up being like 30-something hours. So I got there, got off the plane, got picked up at the airport, bought my visa, which I didn't have before I got there. So I got that. That was like a 15-day visa, which will make sense later when I left. I stayed 16 days, I'll just tell you now. And
oh,
I had to like go through this huge ordeal of my visa being expired. So yeah, I got there. We went to this like Marriott hotel, which was really nice. It was like the nicest hotel in the city, honestly. Like we were just kind of driving through the slums, and all of a sudden there's just like random gated community Marriott thing. And I'm like, whoa, what is happening? So we go in there, meet up with all the YouTube people, and they're like, all right. Oh God, DHL is here delivering some packages.
That's okay.
It's okay. They don't need my signature. But so anyways, I left. But they told me the next morning we were leaving. I got in at like 4 p.m. and we left the next morning at, I think, 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, you can't bring anything more than 25 kilograms. And like, I'm like, wow, well, I brought this giant box of stuff because I assumed we were going to be able to bring all of this with us. But I guess not. So mm-hmm. I had to whittle down all of my... Hold on a second. This person apparently wants me to sign something.
That's okay.
You'll have some editing to do.
I will. Or maybe we just can do like a waiting jingle in the meantime.
Waiting
like,
jingle. Do, do, so do, everyone, do, do, do. We're just waiting. Like.
It's great. You know the lift song, like when you were in lift?
Yeah. It's so creepy. Every time I'm going there, I'm thinking about, you know, like The Shining.
Oh God, yeah, if you think this way, that's very creepy. I get it.
Sorry.
Hi.
Fat tech delivery.
Ah, ooh, so lucky.
And that's the cute DHL girl that always tries to flirt with me when she brings me stuff.
Do it too.
She's pretty cute.
Yeah,
do what?
Yeah,
she's real small. She looks like she's 12, but yeah, you know.
She's probably not.
Yeah, no, she was like freaking out the other day. She called me and she was in someone else's driveway, and she's like, I don't know where I'm at. And she just backed out onto this main street by my house. Didn't even look, just backed out, and all these cars are like honking and freaking out.
I don't know
if she should be driving.
She's cute then. I like it.
She's a kid.
I like people yeah. like that. Reminds me of...
They gave her a tiny bus. Oh, it reminds you of what?
Of kind of me, because I actually, the last day, I was at the office of the other company, and I said goodbye, gentlemen, and turned around and fell off the stairs. It was great.
Off of them. Not
just
down them.
Two
off.
Of them. Just two of them. And I was holding a tea. Half of it was on me. So they were laughing really loud and really long.
Sounds cute.
Yeah, not finding myself a boyfriend there. Or friend. Nothing. Wrong address, sweet. Lexi. So yeah, continuing to Nepal.
Okay. I had to like whittle down my stuff to 25 kilograms and total weight. So I had my drone bag, which nobody else has. I mean, they have camera gear, but no one else had as much gear as I did, because I have to have batteries and controller and goggles and GoPros and all this crap. So I had 20 kilograms of just GoPro drone stuff that no one else had. And then we had to carry our clothes and our toiletries and like whatever else you need for the trip, including charger and trekking poles and extra clothes and all that stuff. So I whittled it down to like my backpack was like 23 kilograms, I think. And then my, maybe it was a little less, maybe it was 18. And I think I pulled some of the stuff out and put it into this duffel bag, and the duffel bag was like 12. And the duffel bag luckily got carried by some sweet donkey horse thing.
Okay.
So I didn't have to carry 12, but I did have to carry 18. And it progressively got heavier as we went up, because I had to take things out of the duffel bag and put them in my bag, because after one of the cities or the little towns up there, the duffel bag wasn't following us anymore. Oh. Like they brought it up as much as they could, and then they helicoptered all that stuff back, and we had to carry our stuff the rest of the way. So I think by the end of it, it was 23. I think that's where that number came from. So I carried the heaviest pack, the last portion, which is the highest and the hardest. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
But before all this trip, I didn't do any training or anything. I just showed up.
Good job.
I was like, all right, first of all, there's a bunch of random YouTubers that are going to be on this, and I know they're not in shape. So I'm not going to train, because I'm in pretty decent shape. And I will be struggling just as much as these people. Fortunately, I was right. There were a lot of people that were just kind of in mediocre shape. And there was a couple people that were in like top tier level. But most people were just like regular humans that maybe run every once in a while and do normal things to keep themselves from looking extra, extra big or gaining a lot of weight. So yeah, I just showed up, carried my bag. The first vlog was just me getting there, taking the plane to Luklo, which is like the most dangerous airport. I'll try to keep it shorter because I'm going into so much detail. We flew into this Luklo airport. It's like a 25 degree angle airport, like landing strip. And it's only about, I think it's like 400 meters long or 300 meters long.
Oh my God.
It's like real short. And the reason it's so short is because it's so steep that the plane just kind of like splats on the wall and then just stops. And then at the top, it goes up and then it just goes boom, and it's flat for maybe the size of like a generic tiny, I don't know, 100 meter, not even, like 50 meter by 50 meter car park or something, like little tiny square. And this plane just goes, turns around and lets people out, and then just rah, like rips off the hill and just takes off.
Oh my God.
So that like no more than two planes can land there at one time, because that the turnaround spot is so small. So we landed there, got off. I immediately started an 8-hour hike. We woke up at 5 a.m. I went to bed at like 3. So I got 2 hours of sleep. We flew there, got there at like 2 or no, we got there at 9 or 10 a.m. But then we had some filming because, I didn't tell you this. The night when I got there, not only did I check in, we had a meeting, and I went to this meeting and there was like all these people in the room, all these lawyers and shit. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm super tired. And I'm just like sitting there kind of doing the whole like school nod off where you like fall asleep and wake up for a second, and everyone's making fun of me. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna fucking leave then if you guys are gonna make fun of me while I'm trying to pay attention during this meeting. But apparently during that meeting they were like, hey, you're gonna be part of this Indian reality show that we didn't tell you were gonna be a part of, and it's gonna be based on this challenges where you have to go and do all these physical. Apparently someone's getting killed near my house right now. Can you hear that siren?
Yeah, we do.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's
America.
Always.
Yeah, we're always used to it after Bob like, Brendan saying that police is knocking at his door.
Yeah.
They have no discretion. They're just like, crank on the siren. We're going to run this red light. It's cool.
Yeah. Yes.
So now I'm a part of a reality show that I don't know anything about. I'm supposed to sign all this paperwork that I didn't sign because I left the room. Everyone else signed it. It was like really intense. And yeah, so we're on this reality show. I don't know what that means. No one knows what that means, but we're all a part of it because that's apparently how they're going to fund it. Mm-hmm. Because since we had to wait all this time and they didn't know where they were going to get the money from, I guess this reality show is kind of funding it. Assuming that if they sold it to something like a network afterward, that it would help fund the trip. Because I think the trip was pretty expensive.
Probably.
Like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Maybe a million. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyways, we go on this trip. Now we're hiking. No one knows what the reality show is. But we got to Lucklin. We had to film like the intro to the reality show. And that took until 2 p.m. And then we had an 8-hour hike after that. So we woke up at 5. We got there at 10. We stood around in the sun until 2. At 10,000, or it's like 8,000 feet, which is, you know, this is the first experience we've been to at higher than 2,000 feet above sea level. So we're now at 8,000 feet and we're just like all, you know, you walk 20 feet and you're like, like dying. So then we're supposed to do an 8-hour hike with our backpacks up from, I think it's like 8,000 to like 9,500 or something like that. These are rough numbers. It could have been a little more, could have been a little less. And we hiked this city. And we just leave at 2 and it gets dark at like 5:30 or 6. So we're hiking most of that in the night. And also all of our bags that we had, the duffel bag that I packed, that had like my headlamp and it had my charger and it had all the stuff in it that I didn't think I was going to need immediately because I didn't think we were going to do a 9 or 8 hour hike at night. So none of those bags made it. So we had to do this hike with none of that equipment. And most of the people's like headlamps and all their extra clothing and stuff was in that. So most people are after like 5 or 6, they're walking around their cell phone as a light in this treacherous terrain at high altitude with backpacks on. Most people are carrying their vlogging cameras like with tripods and like big lenses and shit.
Oh my God.
It was pretty treacherous. I'm surprised no one like died or broke their ankle
wow.
that evening because of how hardcore it was.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty much every single day after that. Except every single day after that, we maybe had headlamps, but we were also now doing these challenges, which are usually like, hey, it's 7 o'clock. You've been hiking all day. Here's a random tarp and some bamboo and a bowl and some kerosene. Make yourself a 3-course meal, build yourself a shelter and sleep. And then tomorrow we're going to do this all again. So we weren't sleeping in like, I don't know, in beds. We're just sleeping on the ground in these crappy sleeping bags that are rated to negative 20 Celsius, but they were not. They were like knockoff bags. I swear they were
what?
Like plus 20.
This story is taking a turn. I was
yeah, right?
No. It was not
good.
Not ideal. So that was vlog one. Vlog two was basically the first time I flew, which was when we did that hike. We stopped at the first place, which was about, I don't know, I think it's like 4 or 5 miles away,
mm-hmm.
but from Lukla, so it's 38 miles total. And we did the 5 mile, I think it took about 8 hours because it's, you know, the first hike, you're not prepared. And then it's also a lot of elevation change and the trails are kind of janky. There's a lot of cobblestone that's like really uneven cobblestone. The rocks, you know, will be like all uneven all over the place. So it's not like loose rock. Loose rock is kind of hard to hike on, but really solid uneven cobblestone is almost worse because you step on something and you expect it to like contour to your foot or move and it just like stays there and you like blow your ankles out.
Ugh.
So that was cool. And then that's vlog two. I flew for the first time mm-hmm. at this place, which is still in the tree line, so it looks pretty lush. That's the one where I like shake down the drone because I built some drones for this, aka I just put 4S motors on 6S quads. So okay. I had 2300 kV motors on 5-inch props. All I did was swap the motors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running a Hero 10. And at this point, I'm flying And I'm flying DJI as well, which I've flown DJI pretty far. I brought DJI FPV and Crossfire just because those are two things that I pair up pretty regularly. Like when I fly analog freestyle, I always fly a Tracer or a 2.4 link because it has more resolution. Mm-hmm. And then I will also fly analog because the consistency of the latency is really good. Now, when I fly like on set or anything where I don't want to have to worry about, oh, well, I'm going to go really far, or, oh, I might go behind this object and I don't want it to break up or anything like that, because I'm in a new environment. I want to be able to see. There are a bunch of wires in this place all over the place.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to be able to see as well as I could. It wasn't because I thought DJI is better than analog or vice versa. It's like a tool for this job.
Yeah.
So I flew it here and I'm just like sending it as far as I'm comfortable, which is, I mean, I think the first battery I went about a quarter or half a mile, maybe a little more, and then I don't know, eventually I pushed it out probably to 3/4, maybe a mile away, which is, I don't know, was that 2 kilometers? I don't fucking know. I don't know your metric action. I know meters, but I don't know kilometers for some reason. Just because it's not a thing that I use regularly. So I flew that, and there was this guy there with me that was flying. He was like part of the camera crew, because I was part of the cast, and there was another dude there, part of the crew. So he was flying with me, and that was cool to have somebody there, because it would have been even more nerve-wracking if you're just by yourself setting up or whatever.
Yeah.
So then vlog 3, I guess, we get to where the trees start to go away, and this is probably like 10 or 11,000 feet above sea level. So it's getting harder and harder with this place called Namche Bazaar, which is like the last big city. I should like quote unquote city. You can't drive anywhere here. This is all, you land at Lukla and you hike. There's no other way. If you want to get there, you either carry it on a pony or you walk yourself, or you fly or someone flies you in a helicopter. And wow. If you fly in a helicopter, then you're not going to acclimate at all, because you're just like getting out at X amount of feet. So you're not going to be too friendly with that oxygen level at that particular place. Mm-hmm. So vlog 3, we stopped at Namche Bazaar. That was the last place that I even remotely took a shower.
Oh my God. I was wondering, that was sort of part of my questions.
But, okay. But that sounds so dramatic. That was the last place I took a shower.
Well, this was 2 days in, I think. Yeah, one day we got there, and the next day we got, okay, so the night of the second night of hiking, I was dying. I mean, I have like a ITB or IT band, not ITB, that's an individual throttle body. I'm thinking of IT band on the outside of my knee that I hurt when I was like in college. I tried to train for a marathon and I was like ramping up the miles over and over like really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I ended up hurting myself in this 5K that I did just because I was overtraining.
Yeah.
And I've had issues with it for a long time, and it started to bother me, and it never bothers me anymore, but it started to on this particular hike.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, I hope it goes away, because if it doesn't, I'm going to be fucked. And I just kept going, and it eventually went away, which was cool, and I haven't had any issues with it since then. So maybe I just broke it and it's good now. Mm-hmm. But Namche Bazaar was the last place we took a shower, and you could, I guess, have taken a shower, but it's like one out of every three places you stop might have a shower, and it's all like full cold water, which is fine. Eventually, you'll get dirty enough to where a cold water shower is okay. But the fact that we weren't sleeping at all, we slept actually in a hotel, or not a hotel. When I say in a hotel, this is a very light understanding of what a hotel is.
Yeah,
it's like a bamboo cardboard hard bed with like one really thick blanket, and there's no heating or air, and there's a glass window that's probably, I don't know, a meter by a meter in your room, and it's probably single pane glass, so whatever temperature it is outside, you're just blocked from the wind at this point. You're not getting out of the temperature.
Okay.
So it's getting down fairly cold, like I would say in the 20s, or you know, slightly below 0 Celsius, and that's fine, but also when you're getting up higher, your heart rate's higher because you're having to, your heart, blood's having to pump more to get as much oxygen to your body. Mm-hmm. So like eventually, like my standard resting heart rate is like in the low 50s, like 53, I think. at this place, I was kind of, I didn't have a heart rate monitor, but I was like checking it and, you know, counting, because you don't have much to do. You don't have cell phone service or anything. So you're just like laying in bed like, wow, my heart's really racing. Let me check it out. And I think I was averaging like 75, 80 heartbeats per minute at like resting in bed. And then, so yeah, it's hard to sleep in general. And the fact that you're kind of in the elements and you're not used to that, I just wasn't used to it. So I would sleep, but not much. And then that next day, I guess, well, I did take a shower. It was a hot shower, but I'm not used to the showers where this bath, the toilet and the shower are all in one room.
Yeah.
So like the whole floor is the shower floor. So the whole bathroom floor is the shower floor. I've been in places like this, like when I was in the Middle East, like all the bathrooms have the little water squirters. Yes. And then the whole fucking floor is wet always. Well, this is like 50 times worse because everyone that comes there is like covered in hay and dirt and everything. The whole floor is just fucked. So you can't get clean, really. You kind of like just rinse yourself off. And the hot water is all very limited because they have these black containers on the roof that heat up in the day. And that's like, that's their, the hot water for the day. So if 20 people took a shower that night, there's no more hot water. So luckily I got some hot water. It was like a 5 minute shower and then it started getting cold.
Okay.
And then, after that, I didn't take a shower until like, 10 days later, which is fine. You eventually get over it and you don't really care anymore, but that was the last time at least. So I flew some helipads there, and this was at like 11,000 feet. This was like the real test when I was like, oh, are the drone's really going to care? Because, you know, it's getting thinner and thinner, and 10,000 feet's kind of the threshold where it gets a lot thinner really quickly, it seems. So then the next day we did like another five. They're always like 4 to 7 hour hikes. Some of them are, there was one 9 hour. Because we all also, with this reality show, we're having to do these challenges. So we wake up early and we do a challenge in the morning, or we do a challenge at night, or some days we stay in the same location and we do a challenge there. But most of the time, the challenges involved sleeping somewhere outside or doing some ridiculous thing like, oh, here's a bow and arrow and shoot it through here. Like, no one has experience with that. Well, some people did, but I didn't really have that much experience with a longbow. I've done compound bows before, but
sorry, I'm
all
just picturing you there.
Yeah, like, me too. Like,
what
just
the fuck did I sign for?
So you're just having to do all this random stuff while also we're supposed to be filming for ourselves too. Like, I'm supposed to be filming content for myself that has nothing to do with the reality show while I'm doing the reality show thing. So I ended up setting all of my GoPro settings. I had to pick in the beginning because it was getting harder and harder. So I'm like, what am I going to do to make sure that all of my stuff looks good? Mm-hmm. And I was carrying an A7S III, like this big camera that I'm on right now. I was like handheld carrying that the whole time. I don't know why I shouldn't have done that. But the GoPro settings in the beginning, I was shooting like 5K with Hyper Smooth on, and I was trying to like do the 180 shutter thing with the ND. But the thing was, is there were so many clouds that were pushing through and the winds are ripping so hard there up high, that you would get like one moment where it's crazy sunny and you need like ND 32 or ND 64. And then the next second it's so dark because the sun has been covered by this like giant thick cloud.
Yeah.
And then it goes away in 5 seconds. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to run auto shutter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run NDs to like help the GoPro out. And I just eventually said to, I think I shot one time at 120 FPS. And I was like, this is going to look sick. I had this idea in my head that I was going to make this like 2 hour long video of just everything shot at 120 slowed down to 24 frames. And it was just going to be like for like 2 hours, and I was going to have ethereal music in the background. So that was what I was thinking when I was making all of the flights during here. I'm like, I'm going to make this crazy scenic Nepal tour video that's just 2 hours long, and you can put it on at a party and it'll just play in the background.
Yeah.
And so that was my thinking. So I shot everything at 4K 120 and just kind of went from there. And so I kind of regret that, which I'll talk about here in a little bit, because I might have a chance to go back and do some other stuff. But yeah, I kind of was screwed when I got back, because some of the stuff, when you shoot 4K 120, generally, if you're going to real steady stuff, which on this particular trip, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to real steady everything because there's no reason not to. It's such a cool experience. Like, I'm not going to be doing flips and shit out here. It's just, you just cruise around and fly. So I was trying to shoot everything in 4x3 so that when you real steady it, it crops it and it's like standard 16x9.
Yep.
So when I shot 4K 120, you can't do that. It's 16x9 already. So then it crops down even harder. So it's whatever it is, like, I don't know, 16x9.
It's
like 16x8. Yeah, it's like 16x7 or 16x6 or something. It's like real thin, like letterbox.
Yeah.
So I was kind of screwed on some of that when I got back. I'm like, wow, if I real steady this, it's gonna be like real letterboxy. But I kind of made the decision to do it, and I did what I did, and I have the footage that I have. But I think a lot of people were like, oh, your shutter speed's wrong and your blah 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 is wrong. And I'm like, look dude,
go away.
After not sleeping for like 4 days and hiking your ass off and carrying all this weight and like having to set up and film for yourself, it's not like I'm there getting paid to do this. Like, this is just me trying to get through this challenge, also competing in this reality show that I could potentially win money to justify the trip going there, because I wasn't getting paid and I was gone for 15 or 20 days or whatever.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, I was trying to like, well, let me justify this in some way. So I just get some footage that'll be cool. I'll be able to make a bunch of videos out of it. Not that they'll get a lot of views and make anything, because YouTube, you don't make anything on YouTube, but it was just like a cool experience that I figured I should document. But eventually it starts wearing down on you, and you're just in the moment. You're like, oh fuck, I gotta put my drone down and set it all up and take off and fly. And then you start getting in the creative mindset of, oh shit, I didn't get the shot that I wanted, so now I gotta go do it again. And you got people like, hey, let's go, we're trying to hurry, we're trying to get to the next spot. Ugh. So it's kind of hard to deal with, but you know, I did what I could with the constraints that I had, and I feel like it turned out okay. So
yeah, it did. Yeah, that's good. Now that you said, there was this whole backstory that, you know, obviously we didn't have we didn't know in your video because you couldn't say it. It sounds even like more draining than what it already looks like in the video.
I don't think it can be more draining out of weight.
It was pretty draining.
Yeah, like,
so
well done.
I'll just run through the rest really quick, and then you guys can ask questions.
Okay. Yeah.
So next place was like blog 5. That's where I flew this like crazy crevasse thing that I saw like so far away, and I'm like, oh, I think I can get that. And it was the clouds were moving in. I'm like, fuck it. So I sent a quad up there, and it turned out okay. Had no issues with video or RC link. It was pretty awesome. That city was really cool. There were a lot of people that were getting injured slowly as we were going up, because everyone's like pushing themselves. And again, like, none of these people are like top tier athletes. They're just regular ass people that do YouTube for a living. None of them are running triathlons or hiking on a regular basis, except for one or two of them. So a couple people had been getting injured. So that was kind of, you know, it was a reality check, because we're all up here competing in this thing or filming, and it's all like fun and games. And then, you know, somebody gets like seriously injured to the point where they're not going to be able to continue under their own power. Yeah. And it's like, wow, okay, that was really easy. And then it's actually on the next city that we went to, we had a challenge up somewhere kind of random. We like hiked up one day and did this weird climbing rope style challenge. Oh.
Yeah.
And it was pretty dangerous, I'm not gonna lie. I was scared for most people's lives. I was the only one that had ever done what we were doing.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm feel comfortable doing this, but I don't feel comfortable for anybody else doing this. And this is, not only are we 5 or 6 days in at this point, and like people are starting to crack under the pressure of not being able to sleep, and like people were doing pretty well, I'm not gonna lie. Everyone was on the same page of, we're just gonna get through this, but it's rough, but we're all having fun. Still, I guess. And then on the way back, we got done with the challenge like late in the day, and then we started hiking back at night. And downhill, I think, is the hardest, because it's hard on your knees. Where like uphill, I don't mind, I can go uphill all day, but going down, especially with a backpack on, like someone that's light, like I don't weigh that much, and I have a backpack on my weight that's like a third of my weight. So I'm like going downhill, and it's just like, brah, 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 like hitting your front of your knees. It's like really draining on your knees. Anyways, this dude was behind me, and it was just like a random, there was also 80 film people that were also random people that have never hiked this ever before. So they were struggling as well.
Yeah.
But there was a dude behind me, and I had a headlamp at this point. And I'm going down this weird uneven cobblestone thing, and I'm just kind of walking back to wherever we were going to sleep that night. And I hear this dude like kind of scrambling to try to get up to me because I noticed he didn't have a headlamp. Or I heard someone, and I turn around, and there's no one with a headlamp. So I'm like, oh God, this guy doesn't have a light. So I wait for him, and he gets to me, and he's walking behind me now. And I just tilted the headlamp down so that it's more at my feet, because yeah, it's better if you're leading to have the headlamp really low so that the person behind you can actually see rather than just like putting it super far out.
Yeah.
So anyways, I pointed it down so that this dude behind me could see. And like within 15 minutes, I just heard like this dude just fell over, and I was like, turned around like, hey man, are you okay? And his fucking ankle was like smoked.
Oh.
So I was like, well, that's not good. And a bunch of people came up, a bunch of the film crew, or not a bunch, like three or four of them. Mm-hmm. And they just like picked him up, carried him down the hill. Oh. Or didn't carry him. They kind of like, you know, put him on their shoulders and had two guys on each side of him. And then he left the next day. He had broke his ankle or something. I don't know if it was actually broken, but he wasn't making it to the trip. So yeah, a lot of stuff was kind of sinking in. And then we get higher and higher at this point. I mean, honestly, it's pretty uneventful up until the base camp. And then, you know, that's a lot of distance between where I just stopped to base camp. It's probably like 3 or 4 days of like solid 5-6 hour hikes every day. And they're all really, really steep. Got to base camp, flew there, walked back down, slept that night at some place. And at base camp, you're at 18,500 feet above sea level, and my resting heart rate there was like 104 or something like that.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So you're laying in bed just like, like your heart, you can hear it in your ears, and it's cold as crap and you can't breathe. And yeah.
Oh my God.
This sounds so dramatic.
So
yeah,
it was cool.
I hate hearing anybody's heart and even mine. Like, it's something that it grosses me out. I can't do it. And I know it's very natural. It's the most natural thing.
Really?
I can't. Like, if... Yeah.
Noelle hates life.
No, Noelle cannot be a vampire. She will be like, oh, I'm hungry, but wait.
Stop beating, please. No, it's true. Yeah. Even if Momo, my dog, is sleeping on me in the afternoon and I start feeding her heart rate, I'm not just pushing her away. I'm like,
you're like...
Nice.
Turn that off. Snap her neck.
No, I wouldn't slap her. But yeah, no, I hate that. So when you were saying that in your last video, I was like, I don't know. That's one of my questions, actually, because you said you couldn't sleep because of the heart racing. But I'm like, even how do you fly in these conditions? Like, because you flew in that vlog. And do you just forget once you're in the air? Or... how do you do it?
Well, when you're awake, it's not that big of a deal, but it's just when you don't really notice it when you're awake. But when you're laying in bed in complete silence,
okay,
and all you hear is your heartbeat, it's like really prominent and annoying. And also, I didn't mention this, but I've told people this before. There's like three things that they drink, and there's three things that they eat.
Oh, wow.
on the trail. The three things that they drink are boiling water, boiling black tea, and yak milk tea, which is basically the black tea with yak milk in it. And usually the yak milk is cold because it's like just chilling outside, literally. It's not actually in a refrigerator or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when they pour it, it cools down the black tea because you have something that's cool going into something that's hot. And I'm assuming they're boiling everything just because, one, it keeps you warm, but also to like get rid of any microbes or anything that are in the water.
Yeah.
They're kind of sterilizing it. I'm assuming that's why they do that. Maybe it's like subconscious or who knows, because I'm guarantee you the water is just like whatever water is around there, which is really clean water, but still it's, you know, just like random water. Every time I finish my cup, there's like a lot of sand and dirt at the bottom of it. So you're just like drinking random water, which is fine. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm just saying that you have those three options. And I don't drink coffee. I'm not a regular coffee drinker. That's not coffee. That was a smoothie, what you saw me drinking a second ago. That's cold. I don't drink any hot beverages.
Okay.
So drinking boiling water at like when I'm stressed out because it's high altitude, I'm having a hard time breathing, and it's really cold out, it's like a really big shock to my system. So my tongue, you know, the first day I tried it and I drank like three or four sips of some boiling water, and it was just like, I can't. I can't do this. I can't do it. So I'd get some water and I'd set it aside and let it cool down. And sometimes you'd get some water and set it aside and you come back 5 minutes later and it's gone because they assumed you weren't going to drink it. So they just took it away. So I'm like, no, I'm trying to cool that down so that I can actually drink it. So the first like 3 or 4 days, I had maybe 3 cups of water a day for the first 3 days. I had my, like, I had this bottle with me and I would only drink maybe half of one of these a day because I just couldn't, I would put boiling water in it and I'd try to drink it. Maybe I drank one of these a day, which is not a lot, no. Especially considering how much exercise you're going through. You're not really sweating that much, but it's so dry out there. The sweat is just evaporating. So you don't really notice that you're not sweating mm-hmm. or that you are sweating. So what I resorted to drinking, which in hindsight, I realized that's probably why my heart rate was so high at night. What I was drinking was the yak tea because it was the only thing that was cold enough or not boiling that I was able to drink. So I was like just downing this yak tea as much as I could just to get some liquids in me. And I don't really do caffeine. So when I do like yak tea and I'm like drinking a shitload of it and I'm trying to sleep, it'd be 10 or 11 o'clock at night and I'm just sitting there like sipping on some yak tea. That's like drinking an espresso before you're trying to go to sleep and you can't breathe.
You can.
So yeah, I think that's part of the reason why I couldn't sleep. But yeah, I would lay there, it'd be 2 in the morning, mm-hmm. and I'd just be like staring at my phone, trying to wait until 5 so that I could get up because that's when the sun would come up. And I'd just stare and I'd put my phone down and just hear my heart rate for like 5 minutes, what it seemed. And you look at the phone and it's been 1 minute. You're like, fuck, this is going to be a long night. So that was every single night before or after like midway up. It was always like that. I would just be laying there dying. And then a couple nights we had to sleep outside in a tent that we built. And it was not good. One of the evenings I had 3 pairs of socks on, 3 pairs of pants on, 4 jackets, thermals, and 2 pairs of gloves, a beanie, a hoodie, 2 hoodies over my beanie, like the hoods of the jackets, and my shoes on. And I was in a 20 degree bag. And I was literally like, cause so in a sleeping bag, you can't really like pull your knees up.
Yeah.
Where, so you can pull your knees up in the fetal position, but in this particular bag, if you did that, the bag would bend too, but I wanted to be in the bag, but mm-hmm. I wanted my knees up. Yes. So I couldn't do that. So I ended up going 1 leg up and I took my shoe off that 1 foot and I was just holding 1 foot with my hands to try to warm that foot. So I'm like laying on my side with no pillow, just like on the ground with one hand with my feet, just holding 1 foot, just freezing. And that was like the hardest. That was one of the hardest nights there because that was like some stupid challenge. Like, hey, cook yourself a 3-course meal and then sleep outside under this, the stars or whatever. And it was cool when I woke up at like, when I got up at like 3 in the morning and went and peed outside the tent, I literally just kneeled at the door and peed off out inside the frozen ground. Yeah, that was a cold night. Yeah. So yeah, I don't think the tea had anything to do with that one, but the other ones, the tea definitely kept me up.
Damn.
Well, that goes to show also, because your footage from all the vlogs are, I mean, the flying footage is great, and there's even that specific episode where you want to make it to that little peak that you think was close, yeah. And then you're like, actually, fuck. And you come back.
Real far.
So far away.
That's a great performance, by the way, but I can't believe you did all that with... I knew you had no sleep. Oops, sorry. I knew you had no sleep because you say it in the video, but we don't know it's caused by all of these things. So I just don't know how you had even brain power to make it back, for example, in that flight, like to just be like, okay, I have to turn around now, otherwise I'm not gonna make it back. So I guess experience probably played heaps, and I don't know.
Yeah, and I didn't have any GPS or anything.
That's great.
I didn't fly with no GPS, no anything other than milliamp consumption and link quality. Those are the only things I had.
Did you have like a situation in which you turned around and you're like, well, shit.
No, unfortunately, no. But I had a couple oh shit moments where I came back at like 18 volts on a 6S.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Like it was like just full throttle coming in 16, 14, 13. Just like land it.
I actually really liked how you edited that part because you stopped showing the drone footage and you only show your perspective. And I remember watching the video on my big screen and we just see your sticks at that point because you have your stick cam. And I was like trying to listen for the drone to come back. I love how you edited it because it's really like your perspective of, am I coming closer? That was so good and I was so stressed. I obviously, if you had the footage, I was like, he's making it back. But I wanted to know if you, you know, had to go retrieve it.
Had to go get it.
Yeah. So good. Such a good episode. This one was great.
Yeah, I had a lot of those, actually. The only time I ever asked someone for help was I was up. It was like later in the video and you can hear it in one of the videos. I'm like, hey, where am I in front of us or whatever? Because we were in the big glacier valley thing. And it all looks the same regardless, but particular where we were, I couldn't hear the drone because there were a bunch of fucking people around me talking really loudly. So I'm just like, I hear like, bah, 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 and I'm just like hearing, I'm listening, and I don't have audio in the drone, so I'm just, you know, outside with DJI just listening, and I'm like blipping the throttle to see if I can hear it, and then I'm like, hey, am I in front of us? I feel like I'm to our right, and he's like, yeah. You're to the right. And I'm like, okay, well, I kind of knew that, but you know, the guy telling me was a little bit nice. And then I flew over the top of us. Usually around like 3/4 of the battery, I'm kind of like trying to figure out where I'm at so that I know if I'm like, I'm not going to run it till 90% and be like, I don't know where I'm at, and then not have enough to bring it back. Cool. So
yeah,
a lot of that, like just experience of knowing how much battery you have and how much you can push it. And then also I didn't bring the right batteries. I brought like 1100s and I brought 1300s, which are, you know, I thought cruising, I should be able to get 5 minutes of flight, which is really what I got.
Okay.
But I didn't assume that it was going to be as vast as it was. I didn't think I was going to be doing like 2 mile flights. I knew that was the case. But as far as what I wanted to shoot, I didn't know. So I was just like, well, maybe 5 minutes. That should be fine.
And but, I assume you couldn't charge them either. So once you had use one battery, that's it for the whole trip, you can't use it again, or how did that
So luckily they had like this tiny little electric solar array that they would have at each city to provide power, and they would only have so much juice, and obviously like everyone on this crew is trying to charge their fucking cell phones and trying to charge their camera batteries and everything, so there was not much room for my drone stuff. But they I was able to charge almost at every single place. There were, and I also had to carry, I think I brought 12 batteries with me. And some days I would go where I would charge all 12 and then I would fly like 4 that day and I wouldn't fly anywhere in the rest because I didn't think I was going to be able to charge. And then I'd get to the next place and I would fly like 5 and then maybe at that night I'd be able to charge. But I never really ran out of batteries per se. I was able to charge pretty much everywhere I needed to. But carrying 12 batteries was obviously
That's tough, a lot.
I mean, each battery is like almost half a pound. So it eventually adds up in weight. So this time
another shot that I really liked. Never mind. I think it was in your vlog 3. You're flying close to a helipad, something like this. And when you're landing and everything, you've put it in sort of slow-mo and then you land at your feet and in the background there's like a cliff and we can see the whole perspective. And that was a cool shot, but also that shows a lot like the environment in which you're flying, and it looks like I don't know how you were able to fly those places with so little sleep in you. And again, I suppose it's experience, but yeah, it was very good. Like, I really liked that one in particular. And I was wondering, did you have like one of all the locations you've flown, do you have like a favorite one looking back now, or several favorite ones?
I mean, I like the higher up I am. I think the coolest spot that I flew was probably that, I forget the name of it. It's like, it's not Pengboche. I think it is Pengboche. It's like the one where it's like the city in the morning and the sun's kind of coming up. I think that was my favorite. And then base camp was obviously, and it's funny because that city is not even actually on the main trek. Like when you do the 38 miles, we did like a detour and went up some other path to go to that city. That's not actually one that you generally go to, as far as I know. So that was cool to be able to go there, because that's obviously not a church. It's not a standard place that people go. You can deviate and go there. At least that's what it was. That's what it seemed like, anyways. It didn't seem like people were going there regularly on this trip. But there were like no one was there. I mean, base camp was completely empty. The trek and all the tea houses and stuff, they're usually full. Going up this time was, I don't know. I think we saw maybe 50 people total that weren't locals the whole time we were on the trail, which is crazy because of how popular that trail is generally. But I guess it's because of the timing, and it's not a climbing season, and I don't know why there were so little people up there, but there were a couple random European hikers up there that were dirtbagging hard. Like, if they could have had a fucking Volkswagen van, they would have had it for sure. Like those little Winnebago looking, I don't know, I just imagine some like dirtbaggy European climber hikers that are just like, yeah, bro, we stayed in that hostel last night for 30 euros or okay, 12 euros.
So I have some questions about the equipment, but maybe I was thinking Lexi might have some questions first.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, like you said at the beginning, that your previous trip, so tell us more.
So I'm going back. Yeah, I'm going back on Monday.
On Monday?
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. For 45 days this time.
Yeah, farewell.
That's kind of my thought as well.
Why?
Maybe you're going to stay there.
Yeah, forever.
So when I was up there, there was, you know, the 14 Peaks documentary that came out about the guy, Nim's Dai, that climbed. It was him and his team. They climbed all the 14 highest peaks in the world, all the things over 8,000 meters in 6 months or 7 months, I think. And the previous record was like 8 years or something. So anyways, he's obviously got, he does this, his own expedition crew called Exped Elite, or Elite Exped, I think. Mm-hmm. And anyways, Mingma, which is his right-hand man, Mingma David Sherpa, the guy that, he's in a couple of my videos. Especially, did you see the one where I was like sliding across the glacier on with the drone on the ice? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mingma was there. He was the one filming. So he's like, can you skid across the ice? And I'm like, sure, why not? So I just went down there and skidded or whatever. So anyways, he is like a big fan of mine, I guess. And we kind of hit it off. He was cool. And we hung out a bunch on this trip. And I guess there's something going on in this climbing season, like an expedition that they're doing, filming something else. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I don't have much information about it other than Nims hit me up on, Mingma was like, hey, can you give me your contact number on WhatsApp or whatever? So, and then Nims gave me a call on WhatsApp and was like, hey, we're doing an expedition in April. We'd love to have you out. It's going to be 45 days. It's unpaid, but you know, it's going to cost like $70,000 if you wanted to do this. And obviously you'll get a lot of experience, and it'll be kind of a, whatever you call, like a prerequisite for maybe working with them in the future, which who knows if I want to do that. Like, my goal right now in life is not to be mountaineering and like, I don't know, just being in ridiculous places, especially if it's unpaid. Like I like doing the things that I want to do, and not necessarily that I don't like to, but I don't think that like going on expeditions for months at a time in crazy places and flying drones in really high altitudes is something that I will ultimately end up loving to do, but it's just something that I would do. I have way more fun just having a routine and going and working on film sets here and there and making great money doing that and being able to come home and see my family and stuff. So I don't know if it's something that I'll ever really be like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I want to do, and I'm going to be on this expedition for 6 months, so we're going to be going to all these crazy places. And that doesn't really sound too appealing at this point in my life. Maybe if I was like 20 and I was just down to be suffering all the time.
You sound old.
I'm not old, but I'm a little, 20. I don't know, when you're 20 and you don't make any money and someone gives you an opportunity like this, it's like, well, what do I have to lose? But when you're like in your 30s and you make great money doing what you do and you like, you're just in kind of a point in your life where you're, you know, maybe I want to like get serious with somebody and start a family in the next 5 years. And if I'm doing some crazy expeditions for 6 months at a time or months, that I can't do that. And I like, you know, I get to see my family when I'm here. My parents don't live too far away. I just enjoy doing this stuff. So I have a kind of a way of life that I'm living right now. I like building my company. I like building my, I like creating things. And a lot of this stuff, I don't know if you know, but a lot of the random cinema shit that people do, they can't post about it. They can't, it's just like you show up, you get paid, and then you go home. You don't have anything to show for it other than maybe when it comes out, you'll get a credit. But like what I'm doing right now is I can't post anything and I'm not getting paid and I'm suffering. And it's just like all of these things are kind of compiling on them on each other. So in that instance, why would I do it? If all of those things are like what I don't want to do. One, I think it's a great opportunity to work with someone that's, you know, obviously as special and unique as Nims is, and also being able to go back and hang out with Mingma. And also, I'm never going to climb Everest on my own terms. I'm never even going to go back on my own terms. So I don't know. I'm not saying I'm going there to summit or anything. I'm just going back to hang out and see what happens. And I will go to the base of this, of Mount Everest. I will definitely go to Camp 1 and Camp 2, which are actually at the mountain, where like when I was at base camp, you can see the mountain, but there's no way I could fly there. So I'll actually get to be able to like dive Mount Everest this time when I go. So I could technically fly a drone from Camp 2 to the summit and back, where I was at base camp, there was no way unless you had a wing. It's like miles away and there's just a mountain. The peak of the mountain is like, you barely see it. So you'd have to just fly to the peak and then turn around and come back. There would be no like running the ridge or anything like that. So I will get to actually fly Mount Everest, even though people think I have, you know, being at base camp, but I didn't actually fly Mount Everest. I get to experience working with someone, maybe being a part of something kind of cool, documentary. Again, I don't know exactly what I'm going for. And then, you know, I came away from that last trip a lot more humbled. I mean, I go into things pretty neutral. Like, I didn't expect to go there and be like, I'm a badass, I'm gonna conquer all these things and fly all this crap. I went there being like, this is gonna kick my ass and I'm gonna come out of it
so probably a smarter person. Question.
Yeah.
Did you work out this time?
No.
Good job.
Oh God.
Didn't. You learned not your mistakes. It's great.
Yeah, well, I don't really have time. I mean, it's been 2 weeks, right? I got called like maybe 20 days ago to told about this. So okay. I could be working out. However, I'll give you the weekends leading up to this trip. So first of all, I got a call 3 weeks ago. The weekend, so I got called on like Wednesday or something, 2 weeks ago, sorry, because it'll be 3 weeks from the time that I go till I go, which is next week. But I got a call on like Wednesday and they're like, yo, we want you on this trip. I'm like, holy fuck, I don't even know if I can physically do this. And they're like, yeah, well, you'll be fine. Well, you did that. We can, you know, we'll have people help you depending on what kind of gear you bring and it'll be cool. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I agreed to this. And then when I agreed to it, then I like had to book my own flights and I had to prepare all the gear. So I haven't even built the quads yet that I'm taking. I'm still like receiving the gear that I'm going to take on this trip on Monday that I have to build. So I'm still waiting on the motors and stuff that I bought should be here on the 30th, which is like Friday. And then I have to build those quads, test them, and then pack and then leave on Monday for 45 days. So, but previous to that, like not only was I stressing about trying to figure out what I'm going to build, because at this time I knew that a 5-inch drone isn't going to work. I know that a 6-inch drone probably is not going to work. And there's no such thing as like a 7-inch Apex that doesn't have props in shot. So I hit up Sean at Impulse and I'm like, yo, I'm going to Everest. I got 2.5 weeks. I need something. Can you make an 8-inch dead cat Apex? And he's like,
wow.
I'll see what I can do. So he starts working on shit. And then while I'm talking to him, I'm like going in my head, trying to figure out what motors I'm going to use, what props I'm going to use, what ESCs, what flight controllers, all this stuff. So I like hit up Impulse or FetTech, and I'm like, hey, like I need this and this and this. And they're like, well, fuck, like everything's out of stock. So I went to get FPV and then ordered a bunch of random crap here. And then I had to go to Trappy, and there's like this crazy thing going on with China right now where everything in China is like fully locked down. You can't, it takes 2 weeks to ship anything out of China. And it's not because it takes that time for it to get here. It's just like, it just sits in China for 2 weeks and then it leaves. So when I ordered stuff, I'm like, Trappy, I need these motors and I can't get them anywhere else. I wanted the Konasty 1739 2407 motors. And I'm like, I can get some 1700 KV, you know, like 2407s, but it would be great if I'm going to have some shit that's my own company, because I'm about to go fucking fly this shit at Everest and I'm going to be taking pictures of it. So if it's got T-Motor shit on it, like that's not really great for my branding. So not that it wouldn't be able to do it. I'm just like, if I have the opportunity to be able to build this on my own, you know, the people that I work with, that's, that would be great. So, you know, I went and ordered stuff through Trappy, and I had to get that shipped, and hopefully that'll get here. I don't even know where that is. And then I hit up Thunder Power, and I'm like, yo, you guys don't even have the battery that I need. Can you make it? So they made me some 1600 6S batteries that just showed up today. And then what else? I got some like special HQ props, and I got a bunch of like special Project Everest stuff that I had to figure out what I needed, contact these people, and then get it all ordered. I'm working with like Brain 3D too. He's helping me like put the GPS puck on the back, because I'm actually going to use GPS this time, because I'm going to be flying far away. I learned from my mistakes a little bit. And yeah, so I got to figure out like batteries, and then I'm like, I got to have a computer, but I don't want to bring my 16-inch MacBook Pro that's like fucking huge. So I was like debating on whether or not I could bring a what do you call it, a MacBook Air. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, 3 pounds. Is it going to be worth like suffering, not having the computing power to be able to like, not that I need it, but the battery life on a MacBook Air is not as much. And the like just the general offloading footage, you have to have a dongle and all this crap. So I'm like, fuck, should I just buy a 14-inch MacBook Pro and bring that instead? And I'm like, you know, I might need another computer here in a few months, because I'm trying to hire somebody to work for me. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll just buy another computer. So I bought a 14-inch MacBook, and I had it shipped to me, and like all the shit's like inbound. It's all like coming in slowly and trickling in, and it should be here on Friday. And I'm supposed to be going to an event. I've been to an event every single weekend for the last four or three weekends. So 2 weekends ago, I went to a car event that I was working. I drove out on Friday and then worked on Saturday, and then on Sunday, I don't remember what the fuck I did. I think I just died because I was done. And then
fair enough.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm like stressing out about this stuff, trying to do workouts and trying to get all this stuff ordered and made. And then this last weekend I did another event where I went to another car show and helped my buddies film. That's where I just posted that Instagram thing of me doing the orbit around my car in the little garage. I don't even know if that's, if you've seen it or not, but anyways, like I've been dealing with that, and then editing videos, and then trying to realize that I'm going to be away for a month and a half with no social media access. So I have to be like, I have to create a bunch of shit now so that when I'm gone, I can remotely make it happen, like go live, so that I'm not just gone from social media for a month and a half.
Yeah.
So, I was terrified the first time. I thought, that's it. He's dead. We don't know what happened.
Exactly.
He's dead.
So exactly. Our listeners, he's not dead. He's here.
Not yet.
He's there. And he's going back.
And he will come back to us, I hope, after this.
Maybe.
Yes.
Hopefully. So will you do any vlogs? Or you're not allowed to do anything?
I don't know exactly what's going on. So like when I talked to Nims in the beginning, he's like, yeah, you can't use any of the footage. And I'm like, what do you mean I can't use any of the footage? He's like, well, you can't use any of it. You might be able to use it for a reel in like 2024 when this thing comes out that we're making. And I'm like, wait, so...
Then why don't they pay you?
That's what I'm saying. He's like, well, we're not there yet. And we want to like... This is kind of a... dude, how many fucking things are on fire today? I guess it's real. So he's like, yeah, I don't know. I get it that you have to post on social media for your... For like, that's what your job is. I'm like, yeah, I'm a soul dude. Like, that's all I am, is just one human that posts on my social media, and that's like what perpetuates my career, kind of. Like, I totally could leave for a month and a half and I don't think anything would happen, but that's a month and a half that I could also be, you know, growing, where you're just like kind of putting me at a standstill with this, and I'm like, I need to be able to post stuff. So eventually we kind of worked out like some weird word of mouth thing where, like, yeah, you can post stuff as long as it's no longer than 30 seconds. But I don't know if that means, like, can I go off and do my own shit and then film it and then post about it if it's not related to what we're physically doing on this trip? So I don't know. Yeah. I think I can technically do that because it's like just me doing my own thing, and it's not like, hey, I'm here with this guy doing these things, you know? So
I
like messed up at one point in my career where I turned down something like this, and I've regretted it ever since. And I'm just not going to let that happen again. So we'll just do it. We're going to do it this time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I can tell you about that thing if you want, but it's all good. the one regret.
Oh, yeah. We should do another episode about this. Or you can say it now.
Oh, it's okay.
Just tease it.
Oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like you can make a whole episode about it.
We can make an episode about regrets, and we can talk about them all of us.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it would have happened the way that it did, but I know it happened for someone else a way that I thought it was going to happen, and it really propelled them into the limelight, and I was kind of like, fuck, I should have done that, but
oh wow,
whatever.
I'm going to ask you once we stop recording.
No, that's
I want to know.
Yeah.
I think Lexi has to go to work.
Yes.
I think that's what's happening.
Airspeeder life.
To her airspeeder flying pod, a Star Wars lifestyle.
Star Wars.
The first time I'm in it and I'm going to race, I'm going to totally be like humming the Imperial March.
Yeah, please do it.
And I will put the camera in so you will know.
Do you fly those like the big drone that holds people?
Yes.
That sounds terrifying.
It's great. Like, I told it to my brother and he was like, oh, what happens when you have a midder? And I'm like, well, then I die in a ball of fire. And then he's like, oh yeah, you're gonna go in glory. That's great. I'm like, thanks. I'm just gonna die. And he will be like, did it go in fire? Yes, but that's fine.
Sick. Please don't die, Lexi.
There's nothing better than supporting your family.
Health insurance. Well, but I don't know if drone crashes are considered part of your health insurance plan.
Well, theoretically, it won't be a drone. It will be like a flying car.
A manned
aircraft. Yeah. So
flubber.
We don't know yet, but you know, we need to get licensed for all that. Currently, it's a big drone.
Yeah, true. Well, thanks for coming back on this episode. I hope you have a great next time, another time in Nepal, like 45 days.
Yeah.
That's going to be a long episode if we invite you again.
It's going to be I'll just scrape off all the dirt and send it out to my fans on OnlyFans.
On the OnlyFans.
Nepal dirt. Just scrape it off. Here you go.
Nice.
And thanks for telling us about the behind the scene that we had. I literally had no idea that there was a whole TV show going on behind the scene and all this kind of thing. So, and we wish you a good trip for the next one and hope everything goes well.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. So thank you very much for listening to this episode. And if you liked it, don't forget to follow it wherever you are listening to it. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Onigiri & Co. on Instagram. Follow Onigiri FPV on Instagram. Follow Mr. Steel on Instagram. If you are here, you totally follow him anyway. And follow Mayan High on Instagram as well. We will hear you again in 2 weeks. So, hey, stay tuned for that. Thank you very much and see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Come on, you should say bye, guys.
Oh, bye. I was like impressed. I was impressed with your outro. I was like, damn.